We think it's wonderful to look at the setting sun and the rising sun. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. We think it's wonderful to look at the setting sun and the rising sun. They have nothing to compare to Ingeborg lighting a candle here and having the match get burned up while it's still in her hand. And Ingeborg stands there and says, I can walk on fire. I certainly can handle a burning match. You know. And, you know, that's just the way it is. But, no, really, we think that the setting sun and the rising sun are so glorious and so beautiful. The sky is such a beautiful thing to look at. The trees, the flowers, the plants, the birds, the bees. Hey, did you ever look in your own heart? Did you ever, in quiet meditation, say, with your eyes closed, God and I are one. I am God. And boy, do I feel good. And when you start saying, do I feel good, or not, it's not a question, I feel good, as you make that affirmation, you start seeing the colors in your heart, in your soul, yeah, in your soul, in your spirit, in your body, in your beingness, and you are all aflame. Now, we read about people like Emerson, when he was walking by the city of New York one day, when New York was quite a bit smaller, and he was walking by the city of New York from up on the hillside, and looked down, and he saw the entire city in flame. Now, the city was not in fire. The city was not in flame. The city was sitting there just like it always was. But he had an illumination. And as he looked, he saw everything ablaze, not with the consuming flame of burning up things, but with a consuming flame of love and of joy and of peace and of harmony. I think perhaps that was maybe one of Ralph Waldo Emerson's first illuminations of any magnitude. And he began to look at life a little differently after that, because he began to look at life from his heart. Now, instead of being so delightfully amazed and amused at looking at the sunset and the sunrise, which are glorious things to see, he saw things far more beautiful than any sunset or sunrise can ever be. Now, most of you have read Jonathan Livingston Seagull's second book, Illusions, by Richard Bach. And in the second book, the reluctant Messiah, Donald Simota, is sitting there with Donald, with Richard Bach, and he is saying something like this. He said, quiet. And he was listening to the music in the heavens, which was a grand and a glorious, magical music that was just so fantastic, so magnificent, it was beyond words. And Richard also could hear the music, because he was with the reluctant Messiah. And then the reluctant Messiah said, I want to talk. Please be quiet. And he told the musicians of the hemisphere to quiet down, to stop. And then, instead of stopping, you see, God is a very friendly jokester, you know. And so the music of the skies went beep, beep, you know, at the end. And Donald Simota said, I said totally stop, because it got its last beeps in, you know. And of course, then it stopped. But you see, we have access to that. If you were really aware of what you are aware of, you would be aware of so much that your mind couldn't encompass it all. So what you do, you close off many of these avenues of awareness so that you're not aware of what's going on. Now, you can hear the wind blowing in the trees when you want to. When you don't want to hear the wind blowing in the trees, you don't hear it. Mm-hmm. You shut it off. You can hear the surf pounding on the shore. And when you don't want to hear it, you just shut it off. You can hear the baby howling at night, wanting to be taken care of, and your wife or your husband gets up and takes care of the baby, and you just pop right back to sleep. All is in divine order. You know there's not a thing to concern yourself. And before that, your whole body was ready to jump to take care of the needs of that little person. You know? We have the ability to turn on and turn off the magic of the universe. You know, great painters see inward and paint outward. Great painters look inward and see the majesty of the painting, and then they paint it. They look at the same scene that you and I look at, but they see it quite differently. They see it with a majesty that we hadn't even begun to see. They see the life force moving through the leaves of the trees. They see the birds all homing in from a very intuitive, instinctive sense about them, and flowing in such a beautiful harmony in the sky. Yes, painters do that. But photographers do that too. Ansel Adams was one of the world's great photographers in black and white before the state of color. And his black and whites are some of the most amazing paintings you could ever want to see, because he was intuitive to see what the sky, what the landscape, what the people had to tell him. And so when he took pictures of people in their everyday life affairs in the primitive times, which to him were the regular times, that was what was going on in that time, he did magical work. And he did very magical work. We complain about our digital cameras, which have maybe 2,000 or 3,000 prints available on it, pictures, and he had to do one plate at a time. And when he came time to develop that plate, he had to go into his private dark room right there and develop it and treat it and work with these chemicals. When he went on a photography activity, he had to take a whole truckload of stuff along because he had to do the work. Now, can you imagine going into beautiful areas on mountaintops or something like that and have to take pictures and take your equipment along? You've got to really be dedicated. You've got to really be a superior, superb artist. And you have to know how to listen to the music within you. Know how to listen to the majesty within you. Because when you look outward and you take a picture, it's not just a picture. It's a picture that's telling a story. Every picture does. Some pictures, people have their eyes closed, and some people have their eyes open. Some are facing the wrong direction. Some are talking when they should be silently watching the camera in preparation to have the picture taken. And that's okay. But they all tell a story. And the photographer doesn't stop there. He looks at that picture, and what does he see? He sees one face in that picture, maybe two or three. But he sees one face that illumines his mind. And he takes that face and he blows it up and he fades the background away of other people. And it looks like one of the most glorious portraits you could ever imagine, because he sees the magic in there. He sees the beauty. We too can see the magic and beauty in life if we will just listen within. The photographers who do great work are people who listen within. They're people who tune in to their divine. The great painters who paint beautiful pictures, they listen within. And they see the outer scene, but the magic of seeing the outer scene comes by the connection between their intuitive self and the outer scene. It's glorious. And you and I, we can see these scenes every day of our life if we train ourselves to let the magic within us harmonize intuitively with the magic that the world about us wants to present. And we don't see the dead leaves. We see the leaves that have now turned brown, that have served their purpose and that are now falling on the ground. And the leaves that, as they fall down on the ground, what are they doing? They're preparing life for that tree to continue. They're preparing a blanket on the soil, which we often rake up. And they prepare the earth, They prepare the tree in preparation for a season of sleep. And then when spring comes, the tree bounces back to life. And all the soil that surrounds the base of the tree jumps into life with little plants and little seedlings that are there that you don't know anything about. You see, the magic is always there. What do you see? Whatever you see, and name it and claim it, is what you are. If you're ready for being instantly illumined, then open your mind, open your heart, open your soul, open your being to the magic that's within you. You're wonderful, you know that? The greatest painter in the world exists in you. And that doesn't mean you have to go paint or take pictures. It means you look and enjoy. And you can tell the symphony of the heavens to be quiet or to play louder, whatever you want. Kind of nice, isn't it? That's our privilege, our choice. So, enjoy it. I do. And I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.